Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to talk about a scenario that came to us through one of our listeners about a situation that happened with a game-ending hit.
Yeah. So not just a listener either. Frosty brought me this one. Wasn't his game. It was another umpire. So for the sake of keeping everybody anonymous.
Yeah, and detectives who want to go and try to uncover, was it 4 p.m. on a Thursday?
Yeah. So it wasn't Frosty's game, but Frosty called me up and said, hey, I got one for your podcast. So here we go. So thanks.
Before we get started, I forgot. I wanted to shout out a listener who left us a comment. It was on Spotify. You know, he left it after the interview with Robert Bannon. His username is BigMcLean14. He said, former D1 official, haven't been back to work NCAA softball since COVID canceled our season back in 2020 due to job and starting a family. Congratulations. I've been ramping up to make a return, so I've gotten more into these episodes during the workday. I've got to say, I've sincerely enjoyed every second of the podcast, guys. I'm a UIC for NSA, and I send episodes to my umpires. Thanks a lot.
That's awesome.
I really enjoyed this last episode here. Thanks for putting these out. I look forward to hearing them every Wednesday now.
Oh, fantastic. Booyah. Yeah. Nice one. Thank you. Yep, appreciate
very
that.
Very cool. And I'm glad you're getting back into it. Leaving a little bit of the UIC chair to go down there and grind it out with us.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty awesome. And so, you know, definitely thanks for sharing it with other people. That's the best way for this to grow. We don't run ads, you know, during the Super Bowl or anything. Word of mouth is our best way to get it out. So thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate it. All right, so back to this game. So we have a situation. We've got pretty important game. That's an NCAA game, NC2A game, and the score is tied and has been for a few innings because it is, I believe, the bottom of the ninth inning.
Not the sixth, right?
So after the sixth, right? So it could be any inning, I guess, after that. But score is tied, bases are loaded, and there are two outs for the home team at bat. So home team at bat has the potential to hit, a walk-off here, and the batter, God bless her, actually hit a grand slam home run.
Boom. Crowd goes wild.
Can you imagine how wild the crowd is going? So everybody's very excited. Batter runner runs down to first base, greets the coach. Coach is going crazy. Runner from first made it like two-thirds of the way to second. Is going crazy. Turns around and goes to home plate to congratulate the young lady. Runner from second goes to third. Runner from third touches the plate. Everybody goes nuts. This is all a fantastic, awesome thing until the defensive coach calls the umpire over and says, hey, I've got that runner out of the baseline from first to second. Coach, there wasn't a play being made on any runner from first to second.
Yeah, I mean, what is the rule for being out of the baseline?
Yeah, so you got to be move your body 3 feet one way or more than 3 feet one way or the other while trying to avoid a tag.
Yeah,
right? I think is the right.
Yeah, and the since right the course. Ball cleared the fence, ain't yeah. nobody tagging.
There ain't nobody Maybe tagging anybody, right? Maybe. So yeah, thanks for your question, Coach, but no. And so of course, all the celebrations are happening. Mm-hmm. And I wish I had seen it. You know, we could look it up, but
yeah.
You know, our listeners can't look it up because we're not going to tell you who it was or what the schools were. But anyway, so all of the celebrations get done. The umpires are together and they're kind of waiting.
They're waiting for the appeal.
Yeah, they're waiting for an appeal. That's right, Pete. So, but no appeal came. And so off the field they go. And, so what do you got? You gotta go home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a post game here. Let's get our comfy clothes on and get in the cars and go have a meal, maybe.
Yeah.
That's what we got. So.
What could have been appealed, David?
Yeah, what could have been appealed? Pete, you tell me. What could have been appealed? What happened?
So, all the runners did not complete their assignments to get to their base that they needed to get to in order for the game to be over. So, the question is, how does a run score? And so, we know the bases were loaded for, you know, if the runner, or the batter runner, goes to first base and it takes them 1 hour. It doesn't matter if the run plated in 3 seconds from third. If we throw that girl out to first, the run does not count.
That's right.
That is also true for all the rest, right?
That's
so
right.
There's, if you look at the rules in Rule 9, which is scoring and rule keeping, Section 1, how a team scores, which seems relevant.
I think so. Yeah.
So you know, a runner scores one run each time the runner legally advances to and touches first base, second base, third base, and then home plate before there are 3 outs to end an inning. The exception, a run is not scored if the runner advances to home plate during action in which the third out is made as follows, by the batter runner before touching first base, or B, by another runner being forced out. And then there are some other ones, but we can stop right there.
Yeah, we can stop there because that other runner being forced out would be the runner from first to second.
Who
she never
not.
Went.
Yep.
Right. And she never got there. So on a live ball, you could throw her out at second base,
mm-hmm.
but this one's not live. The ball's over the fence, right? So
yeah,
now
so
we have
a dead
ball appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Play's done. People left, you know, all this stuff. You could go and say, hey, so the coach came out and asked a question. She just asked the wrong question. She or he, I don't even know. So
right.
yeah, I'm not leading anybody anywhere. So that coach, that defensive coach did not ask the right question. It has to be a proper appeal and to say, I don't believe that the runner from first ever touched second base.
Mm-hmm.
And had that happened, what's the effect?
We call the out. We let the scorekeepers know the run does not score and the game continues.
Top of 10.
Or eight.
Go. Yeah, right? Yeah, or eight, whatever mm-hmm. it is, right? Yeah. So I would urge not just the umpires that listen, but if there are any coaches that are listening to our podcast, this is a perfect example of knowing the rules. Now, we don't know if that team would have come back and won that game or if they would have lost it anyway in the bottom of the next inning.
Yep.
We don't have any idea what the outcome would be, but we do know that that game ended prematurely because the coach didn't ask the right questions.
Yeah. And so she was asking about the right person, it sounds like, when she asked about
yep.
the out of the baseline. She's meant because that runner abandoned their responsibility and wandered off the field or wherever.
Right.
Yeah. We had a situation like that happen in a different game before where the...
Boy, we sure did.
Umpire said the coach didn't ask the right question, but he was kind of asking the right question. He's looking for a magic word that didn't exist. But in this case, though, they didn't ask really at all.
There has to be a proper appeal.
Yeah.
Right? So that's a good question for our audience. You know, did the umpires do anything wrong here? Should the umpires have said, well, she wasn't out of the baseline, coach, but that's not what you want
anything,
to ask me.
Anything else you want to talk about?
Is there something else? You know, there's a, like, you're on the right path here. Yeah. You're on the right track.
You're getting cold.
Yeah.
Freezing cold. Freezing cold. Warmer.
So the answer to that, of course, is no. I believe that the umpires did a stellar job of answering the question that was asked, which is another point to make.
Right.
When the coach comes out and wants to have a conversation with you, don't assume that you know what they're coming out for.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you have to put your listening ears on and say, hey, coach, do you have a question for me? I love that. Love that line. Hey, coach, do you have a question for me? Because it's really the only reason they should come out here.
Yeah.
By the way, in the rule book, where does it say that coaches are allowed to ask questions of umpires? Is it in there anywhere? It's not in there anywhere. There's no rule that says coaches are allowed to do this. It's a courtesy that the umpires give to the coaches to make sure that everybody understands what's going on, or mm-hmm. if they have a question about how a rule may have been misapplied, so
yeah.
that we can maintain the fairness of this thing. So a good way to have that interaction with a coach is to say, you have a question for me, coach? Happy to answer your question. And you
yep.
wait on them to ask their question because you don't know. Would have been easy for this crew to assume she was coming out to, they're like, oh, yep, she caught it.
You mm-hmm.
know, it's like as soon, like I saw it, you know, and as soon as she's coming out to ask, oh, yeah, she saw it. Oh, you got an appeal at second, coach? Oh, man, did you
right.
ever just mess up if you did that, right?
Yeah. Never lead the witness.
Yeah, right, never lead the witness. So that's a tough one. You know, I remember we had one of our players in the past has actually done this on a walk-off. She was playing in college.
Yeah.
And so
in this case, it was a batter runner.
Yeah, one of our Banshee players. So from the time we were coaching summer ball, really cool game, great kid, love this kid to death. We loved them all, but you know, love this kid to death. And she hit a walk-off banger over the right center field fence and got so excited. And this one, I'm going to blame the first base coach.
Yeah.
Because he came down the line to, in his excitement, to greet the batter runner as she was approaching first. And they high-fived and jumped and hugged. And now we're toward the dugout and ball came in and they actually tried to do a live ball appeal, you know, because somebody threw the ball back in. But
yeah.
anyway, they appealed it and like, yep, you're out.
Tough.
Oh, you know what? No, I have that wrong. My memory is wrong there. It was just a solid hit to left center field with a runner at third.
No home run.
Yeah, no home run. So the ball did not leave the field of play. So they were able to actually throw the ball from left field to shortstop to second base to first base and touched the base and she was called out. So yeah, it was really sucky. So anyway, a few lessons came out of that.
Yeah.
And so Frosty, thanks for sharing that. I really do appreciate it. And Pete, I think we have a social media post.
Yeah. So this one's kind of fun. So from the Facebook group, NFHS Softball Umpires, the question is by Anthony back on May 14th. And he asked, is this a legitimate safety base? So what you see here is an artificial turf field. There is a white base that appears to be the right dimensions, and then a separate, basically Control-C, Control-V copy of this white base that is orange. So we've got two rubber bases, one white, one orange laying on the field, and they are laying there not parallel with each other, and they are askew laying on the field. And so the question is, other than trying to straighten them out, so fixing the problem I just described, what would you do if assigned a game at this high school? See rules and comments. So what would you do if there are two bases laying on the field over by first? One is colored, one is white.
So you said other than putting them, straightening them out, I don't, there's not much. I want to make sure that there's an anchor system of some kind. It looks to me like there's not a permanent anchor system for this one.
For them to be askew like that, because they're not only just turned slightly,
right,
which again, the anchor systems we're used to dealing with is a rectangular
post
hole.
And a hole.
Yeah, a hole, post and a hole. And so if you put it in the wrong way, all you've done is rotate it 90 degrees. So it's always straight. It's impossible to put it in any degree that's not.
Yeah, if it's not straight this time, it wasn't straight last time either. And it's not going to be straight next time.
Exactly. But all the rule actually says, so in rule 1-2, which is section, so it's under the describing the field, the bases and plates. Article 1 says, first, second, and third base shall be white bags made of canvas filled with a soft material, molded rubber, or synthetic material, and shall be securely attached to the ground or an anchor system. And then the note, by state adoption, a double first base is permitted. The base shall be one or two-piece unit, 50 by 30, equal height, color other than white for the foul base.
Yep. So I think the key that may have been missed, I didn't read all of the comments, so if somebody posted this comment in there and I didn't see it and I'm not giving you props for it, my sincerest of apologies, but what may have been missed is this idea of an anchoring system, secure anchoring system. And so I think as a, you know, as an umpire, you go out, you see these bases that are sitting like this on this turf field, you better go make sure that they are securely anchored. Now, they're allowed to be of such a design that they can disengage from their security anchor, right? So if somebody slides into it too hard, you know, it's going to come off, so that we try not to, you know, pop knees out of place and twist ankles and sprain ankles.
But by the same token, you don't want to step on it and have the base go shoot.
Yeah, you can't have it moving around. So I would question, first of all, you got to line them up. Right. So you line them up. The fair foul part has to be straight. The safety bag needs to be beside it and equidistant from the home plate. Right. You can't have it further away from home plate than the white one. Right. Or closer for that matter. Excuse me. And then, then I would say that just to make sure that they're securely anchored to the field. And if they are, then we play on. And if they're not, we find a field administrator or a site administrator and say, hey, we're going to do something with these bases here.
So, I mean, the option is, so if you don't have that post system, the post and hole, that I guess that comes down to now, given what I said, it's either needs to be securely attached to the field or an anchoring system that may or may not be designed to break away. I guess the securely anchored or securely attached to the field is an umpire judgment then, right?
I think so.
So this, assuming this one, I can't imagine there are post holes or else they wouldn't be misaligned right now, which means this is some other system. Maybe it's, there's teeth or grippies.
Yeah, there might be spikes. On
yeah, and so it jumps into this artificial field, and like when you step on it, won't really, you have to pick up. If you slide, it's just going to grab it, like close.
I would call that secure.
Yeah, that sounds secure. But it sounds like that could be up for umpire interpretation, depending on how securely, you know, if you stand there and you kick the bag a couple times and it doesn't move, I'd probably play well. But, you know, I guess it's discretion, right? Is there a judgment? Is there a guideline? Has anyone heard of any kind of guidelines on this? And what's a good rule of thumb or
something? Well, I sure haven't. Yeah. So if we were to give one as, you know, quasi experts in the field, the guidance would be think about player safety.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're concerned that somebody may get injured playing ball with these bags, then you have something to talk about.
Yep.
If you think they're secure enough that they won't, then you're like, yep, I play on. Like you said, kick it a couple times. If it doesn't move, it probably does have spikes on the bottom of it, right? Because they would slide pretty easy, especially if it drizzled.
Yeah.
You know, these turf fields are slippery. And so just make sure that they're securely fastened.
Especially when
they
force the runners to run in tennis shoes a lot of times instead of cleats.
Yeah, because they don't want their turf torn up. Yeah, that's right.
So even less.
Oh, that's a pretty good point too. So tip for your kids, if you're a parent or even a coach listening to our podcast, turf shoes for a turf field actually are important. Tennis shoes on a wet turf field is bad mojo.
Exactly.
So
yeah, get some molded. All right.
All right.
And so that's our episode.
That's our episode. Awesome. Thanks for listening.
Yep. Until next time.